And we are in Daniel chapter 4, verses 28 and 29 is where we're starting off today, and the verses are: All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Okay. Now, this is kind of where it's going to get a little bit intense for the king. But hey, yeah, he was warned. It's just like with the people today. And I was just thinking about this earlier today, and I may have even mentioned it in the blurb I put on the website today. I don't recall if it was today's blurb or tomorrow's. I don't know, because I'm stacked up a little. Well, I think I'm only one behind now because I don't want to comment on too, because a lot of this stuff is redundant that's happening in the news. But a lot of the people seem to think, kind of like that, and that's another reason I did that video 2 weeks ago. And had I not had a computer crash, I would have had another one this week, but or last week, where I'm talking about how the young people out there think, you know, do some partying, man, and have some fun, man, before I get old, and then I'll think about getting Jesus. And then I have that car that comes, you know, because you know, that was an actual video, a dash cam of somebody driving on the wrong side of the road, and all of a sudden the one guy pulls over so he can avoid him, and bam, it's just like, hello, your life's changing instantly in a New York minute. A lot of people don't realize that. It's just like, and I think this is one of the reasons all of us have things like this in our past. And what I'm talking about is I can't even count how many close friends of mine and just acquaintances too that I, like some of the guys I used to hang out in those institutions of ill repute, let's just put it that way, have died. Very young ages too have died, literally, you know, gone to the grave, be it murder or just be it some crazy accident. And, so, you know, because especially when you're young, because I remember some of the crazy stuff I did, walking on beams 160 feet up in the air because somebody bet me to do it, you know, and just nothing, no guardrails, nothing, just walk across a beam with giant bolts in the middle of the night. And so you do stupid stuff when you're young. You feel like you're invincible. And I praise God for the hedge of angels. Even though I was an idiot, he protected me. I didn't know what was going on until after I got off that beam, but something sinister was afoot, and I didn't know the guy was that way. I thought he was a friend. But anyway, this is kind of like, this brings me up in regards to, like with that video I did, or even what is happening here in Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, after about 12 months, he sits back and, you know, forget about it for a while. Just like it's no big deal. You can't. You got to keep the fire burning within, like Jeremiah said, you can't stay it. It's sure, you want to stop preaching. You might be tempted to stop preaching once in a while, which really is only a thought. It never really actually happens because, like Isaiah said, it's a fire that burns within. You can't stay. And if you look at the verses preceding when he says that, he mentions that because the attacks are horrendous. They're literally, it inundates. It's constantly dumped on you. Never ends. And you get to that point sometimes, a thought. You don't actually want to quit. You just have that thought, but then you know. And it happens every time. Like once in a while you get the, you know, I'll get the thought, like it's just too difficult. It gets too hairy, if you will. Phone rings, Bible question. And the Holy Spirit's moving. I mean, it's just like you can't stay it. But there are people that do stay it. They don't walk like they should walk. And this is kind of like why he had to get slapped upside the head for 7 years. Because in Youth Instructor, November 9th, 1893, it says, and it's commenting on the area where it says, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace, and it says, Daniel said to the king, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off the sins by righteousness. And thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Because it does make things a lot more peaceful. It's easier to wake up in the morning, have, you know, a lot less guilt. I mean, we've all heard the old saying, how do you get to sleep at night? You know, because sometimes you lay there in the bed and says, why did I say that? Why did I think this? Why did I do that? But she goes on, she says, but the king did not heed the message of Daniel. For 12 months he was tested and proved of God to see if he would humble his proud heart. And the witness was with him when he came in and when he went out. And at the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace in the kingdom of Babylon, and he said what he said. He shouldn't have, well, you know what he said. So, which is the next verse, and it says, verse 30 here, it says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? In other words, it's me, 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 me. You know, like that, you know, he's sitting there just singing away all about himself. Pride, pride, pride. And self-made man, you know, we've all heard it. Everybody, there's a lot of people that say that kind of silly stuff because they don't seem to realize that God not only sets up kings, he sets up paupers as well. So, in Review and Herald, June 18th, 1889, she touches on the area where it says, is not this great Babylon that I have built? And she says, when Nebuchadnezzar had glorified himself and did not give praise to God, he was made an example before the world of how God regards this spirit of self-exaltation. And how many of us have seen this in our lives with our own spankings as well as the spankings we've seen upon others? I've seen many that have, and men of God, no less, that have built pedestals for themselves to stand on that are so high and so exalting that they can't see the path they used to walk on. And then they come crashing down like a bag of bones and don't survive the fall half the time. Like Eli of old, when he found out about the, you know, he wasn't so concerned about his sons. He kind of knew where they were headed anyway, but when that Ark of the Covenant was, you know, captured, if you will, so we thought, he fell backwards and broke his neck. That was it for him. So, Review and Herald also says on June 9th, 1891, and again, it's touching on the same thing where he talks about this great Babylon that he built. It says, the custom of offering praise to men is one that results in great evil. And this is one of the reasons, by the way, we don't allow it in this church. I mean, it happens. You know, the new people come and they don't realize it sometimes. But it's best not to, you know, pat your brother or sister on the back and say, oh, good job, you're a super Christian. No, you don't do that stuff. You know, to God be the glory. You know, this is one of the reasons you're not going to find my name, my last name on my website, except for that one hidden page in case somebody has a tendency to look me up on Google, because there's a lot of people out there slamming me. And I want to just give my little blurb on what my mission is. And all they do is I have scripture. And it's because it's more or less saying what they're doing. You know, because I used to put some stuff in there. I never actually put any names and stuff. It's been up there for years. But I have, however, as some of you know, built a page called Holy War Battle Plans. And the only reason that page is up and that literally names ministries and ministers is because some of these people are very dangerous to the young of the faith. Because they believe, because they're Sabbath keepers, that they're trustworthy. You can trust them. But when they stand before the people, as a pagan priest does when he prays to Baal, and they stand before the people, as a pagan priest does, and pray to God. I mean, remember one time some guy tried to do that, and Ellen White happened to be there, and she stopped him right before he got anywhere near the first sentence in prayer? Put him in his place right there in front of everybody. I mean, if Solomon and David can do it right there, or even Elijah can do it right there in front of the entire congregation, who do these guys think they are that they could stand it? Oh, it's just too much. Oh, I just had my slacks professionally cleaned. I got a perfect crease in the kneecaps. If I kneel down, are you kidding me? But it's too degrading. I'm a theologian. I'm a doctor of divinity. Yeah, so? It's not like you're not going to be reading the Bible for all eternity if you make it there anyway, because the scriptures is plain. We're going to be studying the word throughout all eternity. So anyway, she goes on, with one praises another, and thus men are led to feel that glory and honor belong to them. And this is that one pedestal I was talking about earlier. Because I've seen this in some of these men of God that I've known over the years, where, you know, they kind of like soak that praise in like a sponge, and before you know it, yeah, their head does swell. And they get to believe that they're all that, and all of a sudden, Jesus gets thrown under the bus. And then she goes on, they begin to feel as did Nebuchadnezzar when he walked around the palaces of his kingdom, exclaiming, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? God had warned the king of his danger and thus taken the glory to himself. But he did not heed the warning, and God sent his threatened judgment upon him, and Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. I mean, what does it say in the scripture? Those who exalt themselves shall be humbled. Well, those who exalt themselves shall be abased. But it's humbled, actually. That's what it means. And he had 12 months to think of. I mean, the Lord, long-suffering was obvious, you know. And then in Desire of Ages, page 539, again, same comment. Is this not the great Babylon that I have built? And she says, in this council assembled the plan, in this council assembled to plan the death of Christ. The witness was present. That's a capital W, by the way. The witness was present who heard the boastful words of Nebuchadnezzar, who witnessed the idolatrous feast of Belshazzar, who was present when Christ in Nazareth announced himself the anointed one. So there he is. I mean, think about Belshazzar too. I mean, that's scary when you think about it, because I mean, even Daniel relayed to him, like in today's language, are you kidding me? You're the son of Nebuchadnezzar. All right? And you saw your dad grovel 7 years eating grass like an ox to the point where his hair was so matted it looked like eagle's feathers, and he had talons coming out of his fingernails and toes. And then you saw him come back to his senses. You saw God glorified. You know all about what went down with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know about the den of lions. And yet you still did what you did tonight. That's why it says many, many tekel upharsin on the wall. I mean, some of these people, I mean, it's just like, it's as if there's no God in their thought whatsoever. Because that's the only way that I can explain it, because it literally boggles my mind. Even before I was a Christian, I always knew there was a God. I just thought, whenever I came across an atheist, I always thought, that's just silly. I mean, even a tree knows there's a God. How is it this man with a viable pile of gray matter can't figure that out? But, you know, what you gonna do? Prophets and Kings, page 519, same statement. Is not this great Babylon that I have built, that Nebuchadnezzar said? And she says, notwithstanding the instruction so graciously given him, and the time frame, you know, 12 months, she says, and the warnings of past experience, as he was there and he saw all sorts of neat things, Nebuchadnezzar again allowed himself to be controlled by a spirit of jealousy against the kingdoms that were to follow his rule. They shouldn't have put the period there, but anyway, his rule, which heretofore had been to a great degree just and merciful, became oppressive. Hardening his heart, he used his God-given talents for self-glorification, exalting himself above the God who had given him life and power. And that's another reason I honestly believe a lot of times that the Lord doesn't answer prayer as quickly as some of us would like. I mean, we all do it. You know, you pray today and you want the answer yesterday, right? We all do it. But one of the reasons I believe that, like for example, in a healing, a physical healing or a spiritual healing, or let's say you want discernment or you want more wisdom than Solomon. And I bring that up a lot because because the Bible says no man ever had the wisdom of Solomon. But I like to see, because I know how my Lord, you know, writes. You know, if you read a Bible, you know what I'm talking about. And so he don't mince his words. And so I can honestly think in my, you know, silly little brain that if he says that no man's ever had the wisdom of Solomon, that's true. But Is that also to say no man can have more? No. I'd like to think that I can have more. I mean, even Elijah asked Elijah for a double portion, but of course Elijah said, that's not up to me. Just like Jesus telling that one mother, it's not up to me who's going to be sitting on these thrones. But if they can drink of the baptism, then, you know, then they'll make it home. But, yeah, I don't know. Let's just wait. Yeah, the self-exaltation thing, it's just so many. Oh, yeah, that's the point that I was getting at is in regards to the prayers is, for example, let's just say you found Jesus Christ in, say, January 16th, 1999. okay? And you started praying, and you said you wanted the discernment of David, the wisdom of Solomon, the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the understanding of prophecy of Daniel. And you want it now. All right, now, what if he gave that all to you that instantly? With your minuscule understanding of Scripture, it wouldn't work out too well, would it? All of a sudden, you would become another Simon Magus. You're not ready for it. It's just kind of like a 16-year-old kid walking into a fast food restaurant demanding to be CEO on day one. And that's why nobody wants to work at those places. Well, I don't work minimum wage, you know, just slinging hash and flipping burgers and... No, it's like, it reminds me of this one guy that quit this job, and it was a good job too, and I was a teenager, and we're standing in line waiting for the time clock to click, because if you clicked out a minute early, the boss would dock you a whole hour. So everybody, which was ridiculous too, because people would stand in line. Boss, they're not working anyway, you know, they're standing in line, but anyway, they're all clicking away, clicking away, clicking away, clicking away, because all of a sudden it hits the, you know, 5 o'clock, and then boom, 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 we're all clicking it. And this one guy comes up, and he only been working here a week. Smart as a whip, too. I mean, he's, you know, good guy, it seemed to me, and him and I hit it off pretty good right off the bat. I liked him. He says, I've had it with this job. I says, really? I says, you got a good position and everything, too, right off the bat here. I guess you know somebody. He says, yeah, well, I'm executive material. I'm out of here. And I just started laughing. I says, you're kidding me. You haven't even shown anybody your salt yet. And yet you're executive material. In other words, tomorrow you're coming to work with a silk shirt, nice black tie, you know, Gucci shoes, Armani suit, and you're gonna insist to step into the CEO's office and sit down in his chair. No, that's not gonna. And that's just how some people are. They want it right off. And that's why, like, again, that's why I believe sometimes that some of the prayers aren't answered right away, because we're not ready to hear it. And praise God for that. That's how much He loves us. I mean, you know, but and hindsight does play a big part in that too, because some of us, myself included, look back and I go, "Thank you for keeping me as stupid as I was for as long as I was, because I certainly needed all those experiences to get me to a point now, so that when I read in Jeremiah or Isaiah or even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, I see it a little clearer now because of the experiences and the understanding of Your Word to this point." You know, because I know tomorrow I'm going to learn something new again. Can't wait till tomorrow. So anyway, Testimonies Volume 8, page 162, again, on the same thing, is not this great Babylon that I have built, he says here. And she says, again and again, the record of Nebuchadnezzar's life has been presented to me to present to you, that you may be warned not to trust in your own wisdom or to make flesh your arm. Do not lower the banner of truth or allow it to drop from your hands in order to unite with the solemn message for these last days, anything that will tend to hide the peculiar treasures, or rather the peculiar features of our faith. Treasures, same thing. Because we are a peculiar treasure in the Old Testament, and we're virgins in the New, according to our God. If you stay on that obedient path, even if He nudges you left and right a little bit, as long as you're staying on there, because a lot of us, yeah, the baby steps, it's understood. But I praise God for some of the emails and phone calls I've been getting lately. Something's happening. You know, and we all know. And here's another thing I'm a little tired of, too, is these prophet wannabes that go out there and throw out these prophetic statements like mud on a wall to see what's going to stick after September 23rd. Because we know the Pope's visiting and he's going to talk to Congress for the first time ever, right? And everybody's going, oh, you got the blood red moons, you got this. Well, yeah, I already did a video on that, which means they're just twisting a prophecy that already happened to try to make it look like it's something brand new. Oh, look at it, I got new light, you know, like that big guy, what's his name, Hagee, gets up there. Boy, you talk about one major false prophet. But so they get up there and they do this and they do that. And there's this one guy, he says there's like 20 different things that are going to happen in the end of September, and it's all going to boil down to this one point. I says, well, when I first ran into guys like Alex Jones, for example, and I started keeping track of some of their statements, and within a few months, it was like, wow, they were wrong on everything, you know? And it again reminds me of Psalms chapter 2. Yeah, these guys got this plan. The Jesuits have their plans. They know they're going to enforce the mark. They know we know. And they also know that we know how it's going to go down. But they also know the overwhelming majority don't. They're going with the numbers on this one. And this is why the Christians are very small and becoming third-class citizens and becoming, you know, persecuted or more so. But that's only because they fear our God. The power is here, and they know it, and they want to do the best they can to get as many into their camp as possible so that they can have their Armageddon. Because they actually believe Satan. They actually believe him when he says that he's going to win. Or Beelzebub. We should give him the name he deserves. Beelzebub. Because he's nothing but a god of dung. He's just going to be wandering around for 1,000 years, walking amongst the cadavers of temptation. That's all it is. Yeah, exactly, Nancy. Yeah, he did actually write a book saying Jesus did not come to be the Messiah to the Jew. I got a video on that, too, and I did a couple of things on that, too. But try not to put links in the room without permission. You got to get permission to do things like that. All right? You got to ask one of the moderators. So I don't know what the video is, so let me just clear it real quick. For some reason, it's not clearing. Why am I still in here? Oh, there it goes. Why didn't my button clear it? Kind of me confused. All right, so the next one here is education, page 175 and 6. And it's again touching on the same point. And it says, but the king failed of recognizing the power that had exalted him. Nebuchadnezzar, in the pride of his heart, said, is not this great Babylon that I have built in the house of my house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? In Daniel 4, verse 30, of course. Instead of being protector of men, Babylon became a proud and cruel oppressor. The words of inspiration picturing the cruelty and greed of rulers in Israel reveal the secret of Babylon's fall and of the fall of many another kingdom since the world began. You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Is what she's saying. Oh, yeah. Amen to that, Sister Nancy. Yeah, that guy is... I mean, and Sister White goes into detail about that, too, as well. And this is one of the reasons why I had that little separating moment, if you will, many years ago, when with that one preacher that I knew here in Indiana who claimed to be a pastor and found out later he never was ordained. He was like that. He looked like that. Not as big, but... Well, yeah, he was a little taller. Let's just put it that way. But he was big. And the Lord, you know, because I was just, this was years ago, I was just a baby Sabbath keeper. I had already left, I mean, I was already a Christian 10 years, and I just started keeping Sabbath, and I think two years after that I ran into him. And so that had to be 18 years ago then, 19 years ago. Yeah, 19 years. And it was just... sad because, I mean, this is one of the reasons for the misunderstandings in regards to prophetic truths as well as doctrinal issues that were starting to form. But Sister White does say an unhealthy stature, if you will, like what Nancy just mentioned here in regards to that preacher, Hagee. When they're big like that, even if he's not eating at the time, he's going to be unable to focus where he should. See, this is why I don't want to eat Sabbath morning before I, you know, do the study and then the sermon. It's not because I'm obese, because I'm not. I know how even a small meal can affect someone who's not overweight when it comes to wanting to be able to focus. Like when I do my, like every morning when I do my Bible studies, I will not eat anything until I am done with my studies. Not just my studies, but the studies for the church too. I will, and I'm not talking about the email studies. I'm talking about the, you know, like the Sabbath study we have every week. So I got to do that too. And so, because I know how it clouds my mind. I mean, it's not really crazy cloudy. And if I pray and I concentrate, I can hear his voice, but it takes away from the experience. I'd rather have it crystal clear right off the bat, and I can get a lot more done in a lot less time if I just don't eat, you know. But if you're used to eating like that and overeating and overeating and overeating, it gets to the point where you can't understand Scripture. And that's what Sister White says. And so when you see someone standing on a pulpit like that right off the bat, you know, he's not going to, you know, the only thing he's got going for him is he's got a lot of money for the graphics that he puts down behind him. I never forget that one video I saw where all these graphics with the these amazing pictures of because he tries to play off like he's a teacher of prophecy, and all he's doing is echoing Jesuit, you know, futurism. That's all he's doing, so as to hide the truth about Rome. Then he gets up there and he speaks with authority. You know, he does that stuff all the time, you know, like kind of like a Rush Limbaugh on steroids, kind of the way he talks. You know, he throws it out there. That's part of NLP, though. That's all part of it. Because it's the commanding appearance, the commanding voice is a way to, when they do it that way, you know, and throwing his fist out there and moving around on stage and stuff like that, that's all part of neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP for short. So much easier just to say NLP. All right, let's see if we can do one more verse, verse 31. Oh, there's only one comment on it. Maybe we'll do two. No, there's no comment on 32 either. And we'll see what happens here. So, verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth. Now, that reminds me when I met Jesus for the very first time. Well, I had known him many years prior, but I, you know, I stopped hanging out in the prairies and looking for, you know, rodents, if you will, or snakes, and looking for spiders and stuff to scare the girls with when I was like 8, 9, 10, and 11, and 12, and 13, and 14, but all of a sudden, you know, one summer came, I went from 4 foot nothing to 6 foot two, and it was just like, all of a sudden it was different. And I started acting like a complete idiot until I was 29. And then I had that experience with Christ, where I went into prayer this one day, and I was, I don't know, 150 miles from home, had to spend a weekend in some place, and I asked the Lord a question, because I had already been studying for 18 months. This is at the end of those 18 months. On how to stop the things that are happening in my life, the why I'm doing this and why I'm doing that kind of stuff. And I started asking him questions, and all of a sudden, while the word was still in my mouth, he was giving me the answers on every question. But this is a little scary what's going on here with this king, because I liked what happened back then 31 years ago, 31. Anyway, verse 31, it says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Rather sobering thought. Education 176-8 says, and it's just a paragraph, it says, every nation that has come upon the stage of action has been permitted to occupy its place on the earth. You got to tell that to guys like Obama, Clinton, or even Reagan. I mean, well, no, forget about it. Even go back to Eisenhower, the guy that was playing around with D-Day. But anyway, to occupy its place on the earth, that was Eisenhower, right? D-Day? I'm pretty sure. That was 1945. Now, check this out, because I just put this, I found this today. I was just doing the research on D-Day because I wanted to make a point in regards to blood sacrifice. Because when a Satanist does it individually, that's one thing. And they could even do it with the abortions and stuff like that, willingly behind closed doors or actually in a clinic. They could do the ritualistic thing. But when a nation does it, when a political leader does it, he can do it en masse. And D-Day was one of them is a good example of that. And worse yet, D-Day was done on June 6th at 0600 hours. They wanted to make sure the beach was open at that time. Think about that. 06 for the month, 06 for the day, and 06 for the hour. It was a blood sacrifice. And then after that, you know, America really started throwing its political power and weight around. But anyway, every nation that has come upon the stage of action has been permitted to occupy its place on the earth, more or less like a test. And then she says that it might be seen whether it would fulfill the purpose of the Watcher and the Holy One. Well, I should have just kept reading. Prophecy has traced the rise and fall of the world's greatest empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, with each of these as with nations of less power, history repeated itself. Each had its period of test. Each failed, its glory faded, its power departed, and its place was occupied by another. The only difference today is, this is the 11th hour. It's going to end here. It's not. Well, I take that back. It is going to end for man and his ability to rule, because as we saw at the end of the dream, the stone that was made without human hands was, you know, tossed at the ten toes, and everything crumbled from there. Christ is now going to rule from this point forward in the ways that he was trying to get mankind to figure out how to do it. All right, so I'm just going to read verse 32 because there is no comment on it. And it says, and they shall drive thee from men, then, and thy dwelling place shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And this is what always got me about this. I can ask a so-called teacher of prophecy to comment on regarding the time and times of half a time that Daniel talks about, right? That actually coincides with the two times that it's mentioned in Revelation. One, it's called 1,260 days. The other time, it's called 42 months. And I says, well, what does the times mean? Oh, it don't mean years. It's just days. Oh, really? And then, you know, give it a couple of minutes, you know, kind of like let it dwindle away out of the mind for a moment and ask him, what does he think about Nebuchadnezzar? How many years? Oh, definitely. They're going to say 7 years. Times mean years all of a sudden. Until it's prophetic and it exposes Rome, then times no longer means years. You know? It's just like I've done on the street before. Oh, I don't read the King James. It's all the these, theirs, and thereofs, and it's kind of like legal gender or legal jargon. And it's just too hard to understand. I said, just let it drop the subject for a couple minutes. Let it wander out of the mind, and then all of a sudden, bring up the subject of Shakespeare. Oh, I love Shakespeare, the way it just flows so poetically and so lovely and so beautifully. It's a joy to read it. Really? Do you know that King James has written the exact same old English that Shakespeare is? But you got to give that a few minutes because you got to get it out of their minds because they'll catch you otherwise. You can't just all of a sudden say, oh, hey, the King James is, well, wouldn't you know the Shakespeare saying, well, I never liked Shakespeare anyway. You got to get them to offer their own death knell to their opinion, if you will. So anyway, well, we'll start next week at verse 33 because she comments a whole lot on that one, a page and a half worth. So next week, pick it up there. If you can kneel, we'll finish in prayer. Oh, wow, it's really, really dark out. Sabbaths are going to be going down sooner and sooner and sooner. Winter's coming. Okay, bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for bridling my tongue as you always do, and I thank you for blessing all of us here in attendance with your spirit. Please bless us, Father, with the trials and the smiles that we need to get through the coming days, because we know it'll rain. We know it's falling, but we want to get soaked. And so we thank you for letting us see your hand move, especially recently, some of the things that you have been doing. But we want more. We want to go forth and glorify you, and we know the time is short. And so thank you for letting us see these things in advance and for blessing us when we do these studies like this so that we can have a better understanding today for that which is happening tomorrow. And please bless everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And we lift up this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.